Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the second line from the top. We continue with the topic of the Kohen Gadol and what he recites on Yom Kippur after the Avodas Hayom, after the Yom Kippur sacrificial ceremonies. We can glance at the side. We have a topic heading which reads Ein Medalgin B'Torah. One does not skip from one section to another while reading the Torah. We saw in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur reads from the section of Parshas Achrimos, which is in the book of Vayikra. The first part of that parsha deals with Yom Kippur, and then he skips till Parshas Emor. Not much of a skip, because from Parshas Achrimos, all you have between Achrimos and Emor is Parshas Kedoshim, and of course you have the balance of Achrimos, which he does not read, and he skips into Parshas Emor, to the section dealing with the sacrifices brought on Yom Kippur. So he's reading Yom Kippur topics from the Sefer Torah. While reading, as we just indicated, there's a brief skip. Viramini, we raise a contradiction to this. The source says, Medalgin Benovi V'ein Medalgin B'Torah. Skipping is allowed when reading from the prophets, but not when reading from the Torah. And yet, in our Mishnah, we said he skips from the Yom Kippur section of Achrimos to Parshas Emor, which contains within it the sacrifices brought on Yom Kippur. Omar Abaye, Lo Kashya. Really, there's no contradiction. Kan bichdei sheyifsok haturgamon, kan bichdei shelo yifsok haturgamon. The two sources are referring to different situations. The source that says ein medalgin b'torah, that would be a situation where while you're skipping, the turgamon has finished his Aramaic translation. This is a practice we've alluded to in our previous shiurim. One doesn't see it very much today. Certain communities still preserve this practice of reading the Aramaic translation pasuk by pasuk as a pasuk is read, then the unklus targum Aramaic translation explanation is read. However, if while skipping there is a gap in time so much that the last pasuk read before the skip was translated by the targum, by the metargame, the word the Turgimon. The Turgimon is the one charged with reciting that translation. He finishes his translation, and still you're rolling ahead in the Sefer Torah. So there's a time of, we'll say, of silence, and you have the assembled individuals, you have the community, that's the congregation is just standing there doing nothing. That's not allowed encounter or create a situation like that. That's too much of a skip. However, our Mishnah, in which the Kohen Gadol skips, but it's such a brief skip that while rolling ahead from Achrimos to Emor, the Turgamon is busy reciting his translation, the community is listening to that, and within that time frame, you have already reached Emor, your destination. So it's okay. The Gemara asks, "V'ha'alo katoni, But regarding that, regarding the statement that says Ein Medalgin B'Torah, it says as follows: Medalgin B'Novi V'Ein Medalgin B'Torah. Skipping is allowed in the prophets, but not in the Torah. V'Ad Kama Medalgin. And when we allow skipping, how much? Ad Kidei Shelo Yifsok HaTorgamon. A skipping, but not so long that the Torgamon would finish his translation. So in this source, when it makes an allusion, this source makes an allusion to skipping, but that's relevant only to the prophets. Michlal, we could infer from this, the Betorah klal lo, that within the realm of Torah reading, there is no skipping, even if it's b'chdei sheloi yifsok HaTorgamon. Elo Amar Abaye. So we have to say, go back to the drawing board. We, at this point, are saying that in our Mishnah, there's an allusion to skipping. In the other Tanaic source, it says no skipping in the Torah. So how do you resolve them? So Abaye says this is a second approach of Abaye. Lo Kashya, Kan Be'inyan Echad, Kan B'Shnei Inyonim. If you are within one topic, within one and the same topic, like our Mishnah, it's a topic of Yom Kippur, then we will allow skipping, provided it's Kedei Shelo Yifsok HaTorgamon. If it's Shnei Inyonim, two different topics, then skipping in the Torah is not going to be allowed, even if it's a brief skip, so much so that the Torgamon would continue his translation, but you're not allowed to skip from one topic to another in Torah. In the Navi, that's a different story. V'hotanya, here we have a Tanaic source brought as a support to this approach, and it reads, Medalgin b'Torah be'inyin echad. You can skip in the Torah, provided you're staying within one topic. Ubinovi b'shnei inyonim. When you're reading the prophets, you can skip from one topic to another. V'kan v'kan. In both cases, skipping in Torah, skipping in the prophets, b'chdei shelo yifsok haTorgamon. Provided that the Torgamon doesn't finish before you complete the rolling ahead, the rolling of the scroll, the skipping. V'ein medalgin minovi lenovi. Regardless of the issue of topics, you're not allowed to skip from one prophet to another. If you have a scroll in which you have, let us say, all of the Tanakh, you would not be allowed to skip from one prophet to another. To roll, let us say, from the book of Yeshaya to the book of Yirmiyahu. Ubinavi shel shnei masar. When it comes to the sefer we call treyasar. Treyasar or shnei masar means 12. The 12, there's a term that's used. It's a, I don't know if it's a, it's really a proper term. It's called the 12 minor prophets. The only reason they're called minor is because they are small books. They just number a couple of chapters each one, but it doesn't reflect on the greatness of each one of those gentlemen, and that in fact can be proven through statements made in the Gemara. So in the Novi of Shneimos, of we call Treyasar, Medalgin, the skipping is allowed from one prophet to another. However, in the book of, in that scroll, or the book of Treyasar, there is an order. So you're not allowed to roll backwards from the end toward the beginning. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, the Goylel Es HaTorah, the Kohen Gadol, after he finishes the section read from Emor, which is in Sefer Vayikra, he rolls shut the Torah scroll, Umanicha Becheko, he puts it in his lap, the Omer Yeser Mima Shekorisi, and he makes an announcement, and he says that more than that which is going to be read, that I'm going to recite, is in fact written here. There's more written here than I'm saying. The Chol Kach Loma, why is it so important for the Kohen Gadol to announce that there is more written in this scroll than that which I'm saying? But we should point out that when he finishes from reading from Parshas Emor, we said he rolls the Torah shut and he continues reciting verses from the book of Bamidbar, from Parshas Pinchas, which speaks about Yom Kippur Musaf sacrifices, the additional sacrifices, additional to those that were mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. So those psukim, he is going to be reading Baal Peh. He's going to be reading them orally. The announcement that he makes reflects the following, that it's true I'm reading these orally, but you should realize that more than that which I have read till now from the text, there is more text. I'm not going to be reading from the text, but there is more text. In fact, that which I'm saying now orally is written in this Sefer Torah, but I'm not reading from it. So why does he have to announce that? Answer, Shelo lehotzi laz al Sefer Torah. So as not to speak ill or speak falsely concerning the Sefer Torah, which, what's the point here? So people shouldn't say that that which the Kohen Gadol is now reading orally, in fact, isn't written in this Sefer Torah. And this is as Rashi, Sefer Meshubashu. This is a messed up Torah scroll, messed up in the sense that it's a lacking Torah scroll. So we don't want people to say that, to speak ill of the Sefer Torah. Therefore, the announcement that the Kohen Gadol makes. The Gemara continues, Ibe'osor Shebechumash HaPikirim Karel Peh, as we've mentioned, he reads from the Psukim, the Es-Osor is the 10th of Tishrei, that's the date of Yom Kippur, and there are Musaf sacrifices that are brought on Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishrei. Chumash HaPikudim is the book of Bamidbar. The Mishnah tells us he reads that al peh. On the side of the Gemara, our topic heading is as follows: Loma Koroi al peh. Why does he read that orally? Why doesn't he just roll the Torah ahead to Sefer Bamidbar and read from the scroll itself, from the Torah itself? A couple words are highlighted with a double underline. The double underline is explained under the mivneh, the structural note on the side. Hatzo'is chilufios, alternative suggestions, likrias chumash apikudim al peh. Instead of reading it orally, we're going to suggest alternatives to that. The Gemara. V'lichrichei La Sefer Velikri. Why doesn't the Kohen Gadol simply roll the Torah scroll ahead from Parshas Emor, which he was reading from the text, till Parshas Pinchas in the book of Bamidbar? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lefi She'en Goyulin Sefer Torah Betzibor. The reason for that is that we don't roll the Sefer Torah in public. And of course, that is qualified by that which we discussed earlier. That's a situation where you'll be rolling ahead, and even though you're in one topic, you're staying within the topic of Yom Kippur, and we said before you're allowed to skip ahead, but that was qualified, b'chdei shelo yifsok haturgamon. Since this is a rather large gap from Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, all the way till the end, practically, of Sefer Bamidbar, the Torgamon will have long finished his Aramaic translation of the last psukim of Parshas Emor, and the community, the congregation, will be standing there in silence, and that we said we cannot accept. And that's what we mean here when we say we don't roll a Sefer Torah in public. In public, leaving the tzibor standing there in silence. Question or suggestion, Valesi Sefer Torah Achrino Velikri. Why not bring another Sefer Torah that's already rolled to the right spot and read from that? The Gemara answers, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omar Mishum Pgomoy Shel Rishon. If you bring a second Sefer Torah, people will get the impression that it's being brought only because the first Sefer Torah was deficient, had a pagam, a deficiency in it. Namely, that there wasn't Parshas Pinchas found in that first scroll. And as we indicated before, we want to preserve the dignity of the Sefer Torah. People shouldn't speak ill of a Sefer Torah. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omar Lefi She'ein Mevorchin Brocha She'ein Otzricha. There was a brocha made before the Torah reading. If you bring a second scroll, that's going to generate a second brocha to be recited, and it's essentially an unnecessary brocha because the first scroll had a brocha already recited on it. The Gemara asks, "Umi chayshinon lefgama?" Do we really worry about people casting doubts and aspersions on a Torah scroll? The Omer Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Rosh Chodesh Teves Shechalios B'Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh of the month of Teves falls out on a Shabbos, it just so happens to be also the holiday of Hanukkah, and the holiday of Hanukkah engenders its own Torah reading. And what happens on such a day of three occasions coinciding? Mevi Shalosh Torah Svekore. Three scrolls are brought. Achas Meinyonu Shel Yoim. One Torah scroll, you will read the weekly portion. The Achas Shel Rosh Chodesh. The second Torah scroll, you'll read the section from Parshas Pinchas, which speaks about the Rosh Chodesh sacrifices, the Achas B'Shel Chanukah, and the third Torah scroll, you will read the Chanukah Torah section. So what do we see from here? We don't have any problem of bringing additional Torah scrolls, so why not, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, bring an additional Torah scroll? We said before there's some type of chashash pegam. Here we bring a second Torah scroll and read about Rosh Chodesh, not worrying about people thinking about the first Torah scroll being deficient. The Gemara answers there's a big difference between what happens on Rosh Chodesh Teves and the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Tlosa Gavri betlosa Sifri Leko Pegamo. When you have three different people called up to the three different sections, that does not leave room for people to think that there is a deficiency in the previous scroll. Person one is called to scroll number one for the portion of the week. Person number two is called up to read from scroll number two concerning Rosh Chodesh. And the fact that a new person is being called up makes it such that in the eyes of the public, a second scroll is being brought in honor of, we'll say, the second person, or the presence of a second individual necessitates the bringing of a second Torah scroll. No problem of pagam. Chad Gavro betray Sifri, Iko Pagam, however, one person, in this case the Kohen Gadol, reading from two, one person is there, he made a bracha on the first Sefer Torah, and then we see in the middle a second Sefer Torah is being brought out. That will create a pagam, an impression of deficiency in the first Torah scroll. Umevorech aleha shmoina brachos v'chulei. Regarding this section of Gemara, we already explained it in our previous shiur while learning the Mishnah. So, for further elaboration, by all means, listen to the previous shiur regarding the eight brachas that are recited after the Yom Kippur Torah reading on the part of the Kohen Gadol. The source says, Tana Rabbanan, Mevorchim al HaTorah Kederach Shemevorchim BeBeis HaKnesses. The bracha that we make, Asher Nosan Lanu Torah Asemes, just like we make a bracha at the conclusion of a Torah reading, V'al Hu Avoida Birchas Ritzei, V'al Oda, Birchas Moidim, V'al Mechilas Ovo in Ketiknon, the text we saw in our previous shiur, V'al Al HaMikdosh Bifnei Atzmo, a brocha regarding the Beis HaMikdosh, V'al HaKoyhanim Bifnei Atzmon, and a brocha concerning the Koyhanim, Al Yisrael Bifnei Atzmon, and a brocha concerning Klal Yisrael by themselves, V'al Yerushalayim Bifnei Atzmon, a separate brocha regarding Jerusalem, Vashar Tfilah, and the rest. He continues with Tfilah Tanu Rabbanan. There is the following is another bracha, Hashar Tfilah Tchina Rino Vakosha, different expressions of prayer. She'amcho Yisrael Tzrichen Livosha, a Vakosha, a request concerning the need of salvation for the people of Israel, the choisem, and the closing bracha is b'shomeat tefillah, baruch ato Hashem shomeat tefillah. Mikan ve'elech. After that, kol echo ve'echod mevi sefer Torah mitoch beiso. The people that have gathered in the Beis Hamikdash will then go and bring Torah scrolls from their own houses. Every one had their own personal Torah scroll. The Kore Bo, and they would read from their own Torah scrolls, the Chol Kach Loma. Why all of this? Why all of this fanfare? Kedei Laharois Chazuso L'Rabim. Let's take a look at Rashi regarding that point. Laharois Chazuso Shel Sefer Torah V'Noyo. Every person would bring out their own Sefer Torah to show its beauty. Diomar ze keli v'anveu hisnoy lefonov b'mitzvus b'sefer Torahna b'tzitzisna. A person is supposed to glorify the Almighty through different mitzvos that engender an article through which a mitzvah is performed. So it's prepared. The mitzvah, the item of the mitzvah, is prepared, is expected to be prepared in a beautiful, in an attractive fashion. And this is something that people would glorify in, and hence this practice. The Mishnah, Parshas HaMelech Ketzad, amongst the different things that need to be recited in Hebrew, which we saw in our opening Mishnah, is the Parshas HaMelech, the portion read by the king. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, Hakel. Hakel literally means the gathering of the people. In this case, the gathering of all of the Jewish people to the Beis HaMikdash. Parshas HaMelech b'motzoi shnas ha-shmita b'chol ha-moyed sukkis. This took place once every 7 years at the conclusion of a Shemitah year. The Shemitah year would end when you usher in year 8 of the, if you're counting a 7-year cycle. So when you restart after 7th year, the Shemitah year would start counting again, 1, 2, 3, 4. That year 1 we're referring to in this context as year number 8. Don't get confused, they're one and the same. So that the year after the Shemitah year, which is ushered in on Rosh Hashanah, so 2 weeks later when Sukkot comes, we will see in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, we'll see that the first day of Chol HaMoed, this ceremony takes place. It was a Chol HaMoed, we mean Chol HaMoed Sukkis. The Mishnah. Parshas HaMelech Ketzad. How is that done? Motzoi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag B'Shmini B'Motzoi Shvius. There are a number of words here designed to focus in on exactly when this takes place. The Gemara will dwell on the necessity of having each one of these expressions. But for our purposes, we've revealed the actual date. It's the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkis on the 8th year. Oisin lo bima shel eitz bazara. A bima is a platform made of eitz of wood, is constructed for the king. And this platform will be in the temple courtyard. Hu Yoshev Olel, and he sits on this platform. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Miketz Sheva Shanim B'Moyed Shnas Hashmita B'chag HaSukkos, Chazon HaKnesses Noitzel Sefer Torah. The Chazon HaKnesses is one of the officials. We've spent time in our previous year defining these people. We're not going to go over the definitions again, but we will simply say that the Mishnah makes an allusion to various temple officials, and they will be presented in ascending order of importance. So the Chazon HaKnesses takes Notel Sefer Torah, V'noisno L'Rosh HaKnesses, and he gives it to the Rosh HaKnesses, another official, a step higher. V'Rosh HaKnesses noisno L'Sgan, V'Sgan noisno L'Kohen Gadol, V'Kohen Gadol noisno L'Melech, V'Melech Oymed U'Mekabel V'Kore Yoshev, and the king stands up, receives the Sefer Torah from the Kohen Gadol, and then sits down. Agrippus HaMelech Omad V'Kibel. Agrippus is the name of a king that lived at the very end of the second Beis HaMikdash. I believe Rashi points out that it was during his reign that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So he received the Sefer Torah, read the Korah Oymed. He read while standing. That's a departure from the way the king would ordinarily read. He would read seated. V'shibchu Chachomim, and the Chachomim praised him. Ukshigia, and when he and in reading from Parshas Hakel, he got to the pasuk that says in Sefer Dvarim, when Ukshigia the pasuk says lo sucha lo seisolecho ish nachri, that when appointing a king, you cannot have appointed over the people a foreigner, a stranger, ish nochri, zolgu einov demos, his eyes welled up with tears, tears flowed forth. Agrippus, understanding that he was in fact not from a royal seed, and that he really shouldn't be a king. If we look in Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, Agrippus HaMelech, Melech Yisrael Hoya, he was a king of the Jewish people, Mizaro Shel Hurdas, he was a descendant from King Herod, for who Shenechrav Beis HaMikdash B'yomav, it was in Agrippus's time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Zolgu Einov Demos, Rashi says, Shamikra Zeh Poslim in Amachas, this posuk, Lo Sucha Lo Seis Alech Ish Nachri, disqualifies Agrippus from being a king. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Omru lo, those assembled said to him, I should say, even more specifically, the elders, the sages that were there, said to him, Al tisyore Agrippus, have no fear, achenu ato, you are our brother. Rashi says something that is subject to discussion, we'll say, in commentaries. Rashi says that his mother was Miyisrael. His mother was Jewish. As if you look into the references that you see in the Rashi, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger tells you to look into the Gemara in Bava Kama, and the Maseres HaShas tells you to look at Tosfos in Bava Basra, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. You can see that this is not a straightforward topic. We're going to go on in the meantime, though. So they try to comfort him by saying, "Don't worry, you're one of us." You're alluding to, hinting to him that it's okay for you to be king. Let's continue in the Mishnah. V'kore mitchilas eile hadvarim ad shma. What does the king read during this Hakel event? He reads from the beginning of Sefer Dvarim until Shema. Shema is in Parshas Voeschanan. It's the second, it's within the second Parsha of Sefer Dvarim. And what else does he read? He reads Ushma V'hoya im Shamoa. That is what we're familiar with from the Kriya Shema. That's found in the next section of in Parshas Ekev. Then he reads aser to aser, kisechalel aser. These are sections in Sefer Dvorim that deal with tithing. Uparshas Hamelech, and the section of in Sefer Dvorim which deals with the appointing of a king. Ubrachas Uklolos, and the section dealing with the blessings and the curses. Ad Shegomer Kol HaParsha, until he completes that particular section. That's as far as the actual Torah reading is concerned. The Mishnah goes on. Brachos Shekoyin Godol Mevorech Oson HaMelech Mevorech Oson. The brachos that the Kohen Gadol recites after his Yom Kippur reading, the king recites those same brachos. Elo Shenoisein Shel Regolim Tachas Mechilas HaOvon. With this change, that the Kohen Gadol would say a bracha that's unique to Yom Kippur regarding the atonement of sins, that bracha would be replaced by the king with a bracha that features the holidays. The bracha that would end off Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. And that bracha would be instead of, in place of, the bracha of Mechilas Ovon of Yom Kippur. Now we focus on the issue of the date of Hakel. The Gemara opens with a question. In the Mishnah, it said, Motzei Yom Tov Shel Chag Bishmini. And the word Bishmini sounds like you're talking about Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Sukkot. It's the last day of the holiday of Sukkot. And the Gemara asks, Bishmini Salka Daitoch? Do you mean to say that that's when the Hakel ceremony took place? How can the Mishnah say Shmini, creating the impression of Shmini Atzeres, when the Mishnah itself said that it's Parshas HaMelech takes place on Motzoi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, the day after the first day of the holiday? So you have to make up your mind, is it after the first day or is it on the eighth day? The Gemara continues and answers, Emo Bishminis, not Bishmini. It's true that in the Mishnah we saw that word, but you should understand, meaning eighth year, not the eighth day. The Chol Hani Lomali, why all of these simonim, all of these signs or let's say descriptions of when it would be read? We mentioned Miketz Shnas HaShmita, B'chag HaSukkos, B'moy, why all these dates? The Gemara answers, Tzrifi, I need each one of these pointers. And the double underline you see now is explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, E Kosav, that's the expression that you see highlighted, Tam L'Ribui HaTziunim L'Tarich HaKriyo Shel Parshas HaMelech. The reason for each one of these, let's say, dates or time pointers. The Gemara. De'i kosav rachmona miketz. Had the Torah simply said miketz, which we saw miketz sheva shonim, have amina, I would have thought nimnu mehashta v'afagav delo misrami b'shmita. Had it, the Torah just said Miketz Sheva Shonim B'Moed and not said Shnas HaShmita, I would have thought at the end of 7 years, start counting from now. That would mean that the counting would start from the 40th year in the Midbar. In other words, the right before they entered the land of Israel. Start counting 7 years, and 7 years from then you'll have Parshas HaMelech. Even though that's not a Shemitah year, because the Shemitah year, the counting for Shemitah years, started only 14 years after they entered the land of Israel. Here we're suggesting start your counting of 7 years from the point in time that they were still in the desert right before crossing into Israel. So if you do that, well, certainly the first Hakia won't be on a Shemitah. They will not have even started counting years toward the Shemitah calculation. So had the Torah just written Miketz Sheva Shonim, I would have thought you start your counting from now, even though it doesn't come out, the Parsha Sema won't come out on a Shemitah year. Therefore, Kosav Rachmona Shemitah. The Pasuk said, Shnasa Shemitah. The Kosav Rachmona Shemitah. Had the Torah written Shemitah without the additional pointers, Havi Amina Besoif Shemitah. In other words, if the Torah wrote Miketz Sheva Shonim Shnasa Shemitah, I would have thought that you're going to read the Parshas HaMelech at the end of the Shemitah year. Kosav Rachmona Bamoed. Therefore, the Torah adds Bamoed. Bamoed means on a holiday. V'i Kosav Rachmona Bamoed. Had the Torah written Bamoed and not added B'chag HaSukkos, Havamina Merei Shosa. I would have thought the Moed, the holiday referred to, is on Rosh Hashanah. Kosav Rachmona B'chag HaSukkos. Therefore, the Torah wrote specifically B'chag HaSukkos. V'i Kosav Rachmona B'chag HaSukkos. And had the Torah written that, Havamina Afilu Yom Tov Achron. I would have thought that even on Shmini Atzeres, it would be acceptable to have the Parshas HaMelech read. Kosav Rachmona, therefore, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, up till now, we've been citing sections of Pasuk Yud. It says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Bevoi Kol Yisrael, that the Parshas HaMelech Hakel takes place with the coming with the arrival of all of the Jews. When did the Jews arrive in the gathered together? We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Me'aschalta demoy, from the beginning of the holiday. Now Rashi adds that even though we're now referring to the beginning of the holiday, it doesn't mean on the very, very first day of Sukkot, because it wouldn't be that. First day of Sukkot is a day that malacha, that creative activity, is prohibited. They wouldn't be allowed to construct the platform that's necessary. That isn't something that supersedes Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, the first opportunity for the Parshas HaMelech to take place, which also involves the construction of the platform, that first opportunity would be Motsoi Yom Tov Horishon, the day after the very first day of Sukkot. Hence we made reference before to the first day of Chol HaMoed. We continue in the Gemara, V'chazan HaKnesses Neitel Sefer Torah V'nosno L'Rosh HaKnesses. We mentioned the handing of the Sefer Torah from a lesser official to a higher official. It was handed from one to the other in ascending order of importance as far as the officials are concerned. This gives rise to the same question that we raised in our previous shiur, where we saw the Sefer Torah handed eventually to the Kohen Gadol, but from one person to the next in an ascending order of their official positions. Shamas Mino, shall we conclude from what we see here in the Mishnah, Cholkin Kovod LeTalmid B'Mokum HaRav, that it's permissible to accord honor to a more significant student on the part of a lesser student to a greater student while in the presence of their rabbi? And it wouldn't be considered an affront to the honor of the Rav. Omar Abaye, no, don't conclude that from over here. Kulo Mishum Kvodo de Melech. All of this handing from one to the other in ascending order of importance, is all geared to show the honor that we're according to the king. We elaborated this on our previous year so as not to bore those who already heard our previous descriptions. That will be enough for this particular section. If you're a first-time listener, so by all means, listen to our previous shiur on this topic. The Gemara continues, V'amelech oimed u'mekabel v'kore yoshev, Agrippus ha-melech omad v'kibel v'kore oimed. The Mishnah said that the king receives the Sefer Torah, he stands up, receives the Sefer Torah, and then sits down to read. King Agrippus, he stood up, received the Sefer Torah, and he did the reading while standing. The Gemara says, Omeid Michlal Dioshev. If you say that someone gets up, you're indicating that he had been seated. He had been seated, now he's getting up. So, how can that be that he had been seated beforehand? The Omar Mor, Ein Yeshiva Bazor Elo Lamalche Beis David Bilvad. Shenemar, Vayovo Hamelech David, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, Vayomer Vachule. With regard to Agrippus, how can he have been seated before receiving the Torah? As we said, it says in the Mishnah that Agrippus stood up to receive the Torah, and true, he continued reading while standing, but that also indicates that before receiving the Torah, he had been seated. How can that be, though? Sitting is not allowed in the temple courtyard other than for the direct descendants of King David, for members of the, say, Davidic dynasty. And Agrippus was not that. The Gemara answers, Kedomar Chisto, as Rav Chisto said elsewhere, as a response to a question which we saw in our previous shiur, Be'ezras Noshim. The courtyard referred to, or the place that the king had been seated before receiving the Torah, was in the Ezras Noshim. So Hachanami, so too over here with regard to Agrippus, he had been seated in the Ezras Noshim, that's the women's courtyard, which was an area located before entering the formal or official Beis HaMikdash Azora, where the Mizbeach had been located. In that area, Ezras Noshim, it has what's called Kedushas Harabayas, it has sanctity of the Temple Mount, which is an area of sanctity, but it's not an area where sitting is prohibited. V'shibchu Chachomim, we saw in the Mishnah, and the Chachomim praised Agrippus. And the Gemara asks, was it really appropriate on the Chachamim's part, on their part, to praise him? Shibchu michlal de shapir of it. It's the fact that they praise him would imply that he did well. What? By standing in the Ezras Noshim in a place that he could have, in fact, sat. The fact that you have a king that is standing when he could have been seated is a form of, we'll say, compromise of his honor. The king would have been totally entitled, permitted to be seated. After all, as we explained before, we're dealing with the Ezras Noshim. So was this a good thing for Agrippus to do, to compromise his honor by remaining standing? Ho'omar Ravashi, has Ravashi not taught that afilu b'domar nosi shemochal kvodu kvodu mochul, when it comes to an official, a princely individual who compromises, who is foregoing of his honor, he has a right to do that. Melech shemochal al kvodo, when you're dealing with the supreme human ruler, the king himself, who compromises or foregoes his honor, ein kvodo mochul, it's not considered forfeited. He's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to compromise his honor. Shenemar soim tosim olecho melech. That is a pasuk in the Torah that refers to kings. The king shall be placed above you, over you. Shetei emosu olecho. That the fear of a monarch is to be upon you. And in order to accomplish that, the king must conduct himself in such a way where wherever honor is due to him, he, we'll say, exercises that and doesn't compromise the honor. Otherwise, if you see a king compromising his honor, people will not fear him as much as otherwise. So how can the Chachomim have praised Agrippa for remaining standing when he could have, when that in effect is a form of, let's say, a compromise of honor? The Gemara says mitzvah shiny. In the context of a mitzvah performed, there it's different. There the insistence on the king maintaining and not compromising his honor in any way is not applicable. Ukshigia lo suchal loseis. The Mishnah said that when he got to the section of the Torah that says that you're not allowed to appoint as a king a nohri, he started to cry. And the Mishnah reported that the Chachomim comforted him and said, don't worry, you're one of us. When, in fact, he really wasn't one of them. He was a descendant from slaves. Tono Mishmei de Rebbe Noson. But Oysa Shah, at that moment, Nishaivu Soni Yisrael Kloya. This is a euphemism. It says Soni Yisrael would translate the enemies of Israel. But it's a reference to the Jewish people themselves. They became guilty of destruction. In other words, they deserved to be punished through elimination. Shechnifu lo lagrippus. They were guilty of false flattery of Agrippus, saying, you're one of us, it's okay. Nevertheless, I should say, in fact, he wasn't okay. Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Chalafta, miyom shegover agroifa shochanufa, from the day that the agrofa is the strength, and agrof is a fist. It's a reference to the strength, the power of flattery has, from the day that its power has increased. Nis avsu, there's a different gears that reads this as hadayonim, v'niskalkulu hamaisim. There is a corruption of judges, a twisting of actions. And v'ein odom yochol loymi l'chaveru ma'asai gedoylu mima'asecha. No person can claim that his ways are greater than others. To appreciate the last couple lines of the Gemara, we turn our attention to Rashi. On the upper part of the narrow lines, Egroifa, Koicha Shochanu, for the strength of flattery, it increased. And what is the significance of that in the context of Agrippus? The Afagav the Imoi mi Israel, even though his mother may have been a Jewish woman, Ein Roy Lamalchus, Agrippus was not fit to being a king, the Eved Hoya. He was a slave. Certainly his father would have been, as we said before, a descendant from Herod. And Herod, in effect, was a slave. Vizilo Milsa, and this is and a man like that who halachically speaking is a slave, that's considered a denigration to the office of monarch. We mentioned before, and we're not going to delve into the to the details of halachas concerning Agrippus. There is a discussion we mentioned already before in the Tosfos and other Mefarshim, but for our purposes, the viewpoint of the Gemara here, at least superficially, is that Agrippus was essentially, legally speaking, a slave. He should not have been a king whatsoever. And the sages of that time praising him and saying, oh, it's okay, you're one of us, were guilty of false flattery. That might be redundancy, but there was flattery when it's unwarranted. Dorash Rebuta. Oh, before we go on, though, there is more Rashi. Nisafsu Hadinim. Shechnifu. That means, Nisafsu has to do with an expression meaning twisted and contorted. So that justice became contorted. In what sense? We're referring to an era when the strength of flattery increased. Shechnifu Hadayonim as Baalei Hadin. The judges who were expected to judge the litigants appearing in front of them, they, the judges themselves, ended up flattering those coming for litigation. V'niskalkulu ha'maisim, and here we have a point made in Rashi which has extreme importance to this very day. And Rashi says, V'niskalkulu ha'maisim shehagedoylin ro'u oivri avera. Here we're describing a situation in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and you could pretty much rest assured things have not improved since then. Like the Gemara says in Yuma, the fact that the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt basically shows that the situation that led to its destruction then is still present today, because if we had improved upon that, then it certainly would have been rebuilt. So it's pretty hard to say that we're any better today than what we're describing in the Gemara. So the Gemara describes then in the time of the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, just to put things in additional perspective, one has to realize you're dealing with a period of time where the greatest of the Tanoim were in effect in the leadership position. The likes of Hillel HaZaken, he lived 100 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And his descendants included the likes of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, great Tanoim like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he lived at this time. He was present during the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara makes reference to that in several places. So just as I say, to keep things in perspective, we're dealing with a time in which there were immensely great individuals, and yet there was a spirit of Hanufa that was there. And Rashi says, Shagdolim ro oivri avera, the great ones could see sinners, velomichu biyodam mipnei Hanufa, and not be able to protest, to chastise, because of this spirit of Hanufa, flattery. And if we're speaking about, as we mentioned before, a period where they were incredibly great individuals present, and yet this power of Hanufa was so great that, as Rashi could describe, Gedolim ro over avera, leaders, great men could see sinners, and yet have their spirits limited and quashed because of this this element of Hanufa. When you hear and one hears from time to time people trying to justify behavior on the grounds that, well, the Gedolim, they don't protest, that's not a justification. In fact, you can have a situation where Gedolim, where great men will remain silent and not protest. And that's not acquiescence. It's not a sign of accepting the behavior. But rather, there is a situation where the ability to chastise is severely limited. And we can trace it back to what our Gemara is saying, that nay, a groifa shel Hanufa. We continue in the Gemara. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Marova. Please bear with me. There's one more Rashi that we really need to read before going on. The Rashi says, V'ein Odom Yochol Lomar Lechaveru Ma'asai Gedoylu Mima'asecha. Because of this situation of a Grofer Shachanufa, so one cannot say to the other, well, my ways are better than yours. Shemitoch Shalomichu Ba'ivri Avera, the result of the silence and the non-chastising of sinners, Lomdu Hadurois Es Ma'asehem V'nimtza Kulan Ivrim. People learned their ways from those Oivrei Avera. As we said before, since there was no chastising of the sinners, later generations saw the previous generation of sinners, and they continued in those ways. And the result of this, everyone are really sinners. And therefore, no one has a right to claim that their ways are better than the next guy's. And as we now let's go back to the Gemara. Dorash Rav Yehuda bar Marova v'itemo Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Rav Yehuda, some versions have Rav Shimon ben Pazi saying mutter lahachnif l'rishoyim b'olam hazeh. One is permitted to flatter the wicked in this world. Shenemar lo yikore oid l'novol nodiv u'lechilai lo yeomer shoah. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya. Prophetic, referring to a future time where there no longer will be the novel, the scoundrel being referred to as a nadiv, as a philanthropic, kindly individual. That will change, but that's in the future. Michlal, the ba'olam hazeh, we can infer though that nowadays in this world, shori, that type of practice would be allowed. The Pasuk had made mention of Ulechilai lo yeomer shoah. Rashi says, Lechilai loshon kolsa nafshi, shemisave lishtos yayin todir. People that are seeking out pleasures and inebriation, drunkenness, those kind of people, it will in the future no longer be said that they are our salvation. But as we saw, that's what will be in the future, implying that nowadays that type of behavior of praising the wicked would be okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar Mehocha, from the following. This pasuk goes way back to the time of Yankiv and Esav, where Yankiv meets up with Esav. He says, Kirois Pene Elakim Vatirtseni, that you appear to me like the like angels and have good feelings, have compassion toward me. This approach of Rav Shimon Lakish, where you see Yankiv flattering Esav. Esav was a Rasha. Esav was wicked, and here you have Yankiv referring to him as having the face of angels. That's flattery. Okay, so you see from Yankiv Avinu, who do we have greater than Yankiv Avinu to learn from his ways? So if Yankiv Avinu was praising, was flattering a wicked man, we too can do that in Olam Hazeh. This approach of Reish Lakish, namely using the pasuk of Yankiv saying to Esav, Kirois Pnei Elokim, is at odds with Rabbi Levi's approach to that pasuk. So that Reish Lakish's approach is at odds with Rabbi Levi's approach. The Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi, in interpreting this pasuk, Kirois Pnei Elokim Atzeni, he gives us an analogy. Moshol Shel Yankiv V'Esav, the analogy appropriate for this encounter between Yankiv and Esav, where he says to Esav, you remind me of angels. Lema Dover Doima, what can be compared to this? La'odom shezimen es chavero, a person invited his fellow man to a meal, v'hikir bo shemevakish lahorgo, and he started getting the feeling, he recognized that the individual wants to kill him. Amar lo Tam tafshil zeh shani toyim. So the guest who got the feeling that the host invited him but was scheming to kill him, so the guest says, oh, this food that you're serving, tam tafshil zeh, the taste of this food, shani toyim, that I'm tasting, kitafshil shetamti beveis hamelech, reminds me of the food that I had when I was visiting the king, when I was in the king's palace. Oh, so now the host, who is the potential murderer, hears that the potential victim is a friend of the king's, Omar Yoda Le Malka. Oh, that he knows the king, he's on familiar terms with the king. I better not start up with him. Mistafi velo kotile. He will experience a sense of hesitation, of fear, and not kill him. So that's what Yankov was telling Esav. Oh, seeing you reminds me of my seeing of the angels. Oh, Esav says, you're on friendly term with angels. So Esav was going to start up with Yankov. That's where you go on in the Gemara. Triangles start appearing, one of our common series markings. On the side of the Gemara, under the Mivne, under the structural note, we indicate Meimros Shel Reb Elozer Binyan Chanufa. We'll have a series of statements of Reb Elozer concerning this topic of Chanufa, flattery. Omar Reb Elozer, Kol Odom Sheish Bo Chanufa Mevi Af Lolam. A person who has this characteristic where he flatters, and when we use the term flatter, it's all in the context of this false flattery. People who do that bring wrath. Af is wrath to the world. Shnemar, v'chanfe lev yosimu af. The people who are guilty of flattery place wrath. V'loy oid elo she'ein tfiloso nishmas. Additionally, his prayers are not heard, or not listened to. Shnemar, the pasuk says over there in Sefer Iyov, lo yishavru ki asaram. Rashi says, lo yishavu ki asaram kishiyavo aleim yisurim lo yo'ilam sho'ah. Sho'ah is their prayer, their screams, so that their screams, their supplications, will not be of any benefit to them when they suffer. These are references to those who are guilty of flattery. Simon, here we have a mnemonic in order to remember each statement of Reb Elozer regarding flattery. Now, the first word in this simon we just discussed. It says in this simon is a sign, a mnemonic, a memory device, and they just remember these words: af, ubar, gehenim, biyodoi, nida, goyla. You'll see as we go on in the Gemara the significance of each one of these words as they relate to each additional statement. So the second word in the simon is ubar, an embryo, or I should say a fetus. The Omar Reb Elozer kol adam sheish bo chanufa, a person who has this characteristic of chanufa, filu ubrim shebemei imon mekalino, so even the unborn that are still within their mother's wombs, curse them, curse the flatterers. Shenemar, Oimer L'Rosha Tzadik, one who says to the wicked, oh, you're righteous. Tzadik Ata, you're righteous. Yikavuhu Amim, Yizamuhu Le'umim. There are words that the Gemara now explains. The word Yikavu, the Ein Koiv Elo Klola. The word Yikavuhu refers to cursing. Shenemar, Lo Kavokel. In that posuk, which describes Bilam, who was hired to curse. So it says, Lo kovokel. God did not agree with the curse. V'ein la'oim, the other word in the pasuk that we are defining is le'umim. That word, la'oim, is a reference to ein la'oim elo ubrin. It's a reference to the fetuses, the unborn. Shenemar u'la'oim mila'oim ye'emots. This pasuk was cited in the context of Rivka when she was still pregnant with Yankov and Esav. They were unborn, and hence you see the word la'om referring to the unborn, and hence the drosha of Reb Elozer that when dealing with flatterers, even the unborn curse them. V'yomer Reb Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo chanufa noifel begehenem. Person who has this characteristic of chanufa descends to purgatory. Shneamar, hoy ha'imrim l'ra toiv u'l'toiv ra. Woe unto those that say regarding the ra, the bad, that it's good. That's flattery. Maksi vachrov, that what does it say afterwards? We just read pasuk chaf in Yeshaya Perikei, and in pasuk chaf dalid it says lochein keechol kash l'shoinesh v'chashash lehava yirpe v'chulei. Pasuk is describing the consuming of straw in fire, in flames. A reference, of course, to purgatory. The Omer Rabbi Lozer, kol amachnif lechaveroi, and take note of the structure here of a long point. This takes us down about six lines down from the top of Mem Beis Omid Aleph. So, what does Rabbi Lozer say? Kol hamachnif lechaveroi seif neifil biyad. The one who flatters someone will eventually fall into his clutches. He'll fall victim to the very person he's trying to flatter. V'meinu noifil biyado, noifil biyad bonov. And if not into that individual, he'll fall victim to his son. V'im eino noifil biyad bonov. And if he doesn't fall victim to the subject's sons, noifil biyad b'nei b'no. He'll biyad ben b'no. He'll fall into the clutches of the subject's grandson. Shenemar. And we have proof to that. Vayomer Yirmiyah Lechananya. Amen. Kain Yas Hashem Yikam Hashem Es Devorecha. Yirmiyah said to a gentleman named Hananya, it should only be that your words are fulfilled. Now, Hananya had said false prophecy. And Yirmiyah, the great prophet Jeremiah, he was guilty of chanufa. He said it should only, that your word should be fulfilled, knowing that it's that what this guy Hananya was saying was a lie. He should have said, "You're a liar," but no, he didn't do that. Uksiv, I hope you took note of the marking that we dashed, underlined the name Hananya. And it says, it goes on to say, and we continue at the top of Mem Beis Omid Aleph. We had just cited a posuk from Yirmiyah Perek Chav Ches. Now we cite a posuk from later in the book, from Perek Lamed Zayin. It says, "Vayihu b'shar Binyamin." Yirmiyah was there at the gate of Binyamin. V'sham baal pekidos u'shmo Yiraya ben Shalmiya ben Hananya. Notice the names. Yirayah is a grandson of Hananya. Hananya was the person that Yirmiyah had flattered. Vayispois es Yirmiyah hanavi lemor elakastimata noifel. This grandson of Hananya grabbed hold of Yirmiyah and says, "You are going to be given over to the Babylonians." Vayom Yirmiyah sheker eineni noifel. El Hakastim. Yirmiyah said to him, "That's a lie. I'm not going to fall to them." Uksiv ayispois Yiraya b'Yirmiyah v'yaviyehu El Hakastim. And the pasuk says, and in fact, this grandson of Hananya, Yiraya, grabbed Yirmiyah and brought him to the Babylonians. I said v'yaviyehu El Hasorim. He brought him to the ministers, to the enemy. And you see what Rebbe Lozer taught before, that one who flatters someone, eventually, if not falling into his own clutches, will fall into the clutches of even the grandson. V'yomer Rebbe Lozer, kol eida sheyesh bo chanufa meusa kenida. Any assembly, any congregation, community that is guilty of flattery is disgusting, like a menstruant woman. say disgusting, of course, in order to be, let's say, politically correct, one understands very well that when the female flow is taking place, so it's not a time at which a couple would be together. There's a certain element of, let's say, repulsiveness. That's the idea of Mo'us in the context of the Nida. But using that idea, here we can apply it in its let's say, fullest form, that a community that is guilty of Hanufa is disgusting. Why we're saying this in the context of Nida, you'll appreciate that as we go on in the Gemara. Shenemar, ki adas chonef galmod. You see in this pasuk a reference to Adas Chanef, a community of flatterers, is Galmod. She came to Krocheyom, Kurin Lenida, Galmuda. In foreign locations, instead of using the word Nida as a reference to the menstruant woman, the word Galmuda is used. My Galmuda, what's the etymology of that word? Gemula da mi bailo. Gemula means removed from. We use the expression, a child who finishes his period of nursing, he's weaned away, he's removed from, and that's the word you see in the Torah, vayigomel. Vayigmol or vayigomel, the child is removed from nursing. She is removed from her husband, and hence the analogy that we see in the pasuk with reference to a community of flatterers. The Omer of Elazar, Kol Eda Sheyesh Bo Chanufa L'Soyv Goyla, a community that's guilty of flattery, eventually goes into exile. Ksiv Hocha Ki Adas Chonev Galmod, Uksiv Hosam V'yomarti B'lovavecha Mi Yod Li Es'ele V'ani Shkula V'galmuda Goyla V'sura. What we have to do here is to emphasize the connection of words. One pasuk made reference to the community of flatterers as galmod, and here you have the word galmuda together with gola, gola being exiled. Omer of Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Arba kitos ein mekablin pnei shechina. There are four kitos, four groups that ein mekablos pnei shechina, that will not merit being received by the divine presence. The four groups: Kas Leitzim, the people of that group of people that are Leitzim, they're buffoons, they're fools, jokesters. The Kas Chanifim, the group of people that are flatterers. Vikas Shkorim or Shakronim, liars. Vikas Mesapri Loshen Hora, those that speak ill of others. Kas Leitzim, and here the Gemara explains each one of the groups. How do you see that the Almighty will not enable, not allow His divine presence to accept them? Kas Leitzim Dichtiv Meshach Yodo Es Leitzitzim. He withdraws his hand from the buffoons. Kas Chanifim, Dechsiv Ki Lo Lefonov Chanef Yavo. The Chanef, the flatterer, will not come in his presence, the divine presence. Kas Shakronim, Dechtiv Doiver Shkorim Lo Yikoin Leneged Enai. The speakers of lies will not appear in my presence. Kas Misapri Loshen Hora, Dechtiv Ki Lo Kel Chofetz Resha Oto Lo Yegurcho Ra. That's the pasuk, and we learn from here, Tzadik Ato Hashem, you Almighty are righteous. Lo Yegur B'Megurcho Ra. Ra, in this context, Loshen Hora, speakers, those who speak ill, will not merit dwelling in your precinct. And of course, this should encourage each one of us to avoid each one of these negative characteristics, not to be a late, to not to be a buffoon, but to have a serious attitude, a serious. One should carry himself in a serious way, with avoiding lightheadedness and joking. Avoid flattery, avoid lying, and certainly avoid the major sin of Lashon Hara. Of course, you can see that Baruch Hashem, we've completed the seventh perek of Soita Mitzvah Hashem, and now our next year we'll continue with the eighth perek. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.